CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And let me say something about the Pope off the top, or the visit of the Pope. It concerns me, I'm sure many others, there's a great deal of attention to the Pope and his, did he apologize, did he not apologize, did he say he was really sorry, did he really mean that he was sorry, will there be it, this and that. And even the Prime Minister edited him, didn't edit, he commented, he reviewed the Pope's remarks. But we said on the Taylor Report before, the Canadian government established these schools that were turned out to be so horrific. The concept was genocidal. It was advocated as though it was a great blessing to deprive people of their language and their religion. And as far as I know, in terms of the responsibilities of Canadian citizens or members of the British Empire under the Queen, the buck stops with those people. And so I'd like to know, to remind everyone that the Pope doesn't have the file on providing clean water and a healthy environment and medicine and adequate care for Indigenous population. The file rests in Ottawa, I think. Certainly it doesn't rest with the Pope. And there's the additional matter of jumps out to me always, because the numbers don't change. Indigenous population is represented in Canadian prisons in a remarkably disproportionate way, which only means, in the simplest terms, racism. That's all, it's just as clear as a bell, and that file doesn't belong to the Pope. Church has a responsibility as Christian organization which wishes to provide some moral leadership and should be part of the debate. I would think that Catholics should be in the forefront of insisting on clean water and be advocates for the return of land or sovereignty over the land by Indigenous people. And that would be very good. I don't know whether that is even the case, but as it strikes me, listening to the reporting, that there's really disproportionate interest in the Catholic Church. The head of the church in Canada is the Queen. She's the head of the church, the Anglican Church. And as recent as Pierre Trudeau and Jean Chrétien, there was still the argument that, oh, this was all good. This was a positive phenomenon. And also, I'd like to know how they have managed to bureaucratize the process of determining how many lives have been lost, particularly children. Country was aghast at the discovery of the remains of Indigenous children. But somehow or another, instead of it becoming a very urgent matter to establish the fact, it became a big discussion of something else. I have to say, Canadian politics has a genius for getting off point and expressing concern, striking committees, writing reports, and nothing happens. On the in matter of relations with Indigenous, sovereign Indigenous nations, To my mind, the budget should reflect that this is urgent, and there should be a meeting of the justice with the justice ministers and Indigenous Canadians should be, they're all cases should be opened, examine the files for lack of representation, all the little things that have that lead to the crisis that we live with every day, and be remedied. It has happened a few places where laws were recognized as wrong, and the prosecution of those of the laws, implementation has been shown to be discriminatory, and immediately something was done. People are released. Some of our worst stories of inhumane treatment in Canadian prisons were involved Indigenous Canadians. Matter of fact, I think disproportionately, again, their numbers would be clearly higher in percentage of what they are of the population. To my mind, that's where the passion should be. And all these, many of these questions should be examined. But I would say start with Canadian Parliament, start with the Prime Minister, and identify who it was who initiated, developed, and write a long, bitter denunciation of them, and then correct it today. I don't know, why can't the Justice Minister and a little army of bureaucrats visit each prison and say, release so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, release them, because they shouldn't be here. I don't see that happening. I doubt that it's going to happen. But anyway, we'll come back to this subject because, by the way, the subject of Catholicism, Protestantism in Canada is deeply involved with many of the horrible things that have happened here. The hanging of Louis Riel, the hanging of a large number of Indigenous individuals who were trying to feed themselves when there was a program of starvation. And unfortunately for the European element, the British element, a couple of white people were killed, and therefore several young Indigenous men were hanged. And they were put in basically an unmarked grave. They never had a trial. They didn't know what was being said to them. There was a trial, but they weren't represented. There was no translation. And their grave now, after all these years, finally has a marker. But that was all done. That wasn't actually the Catholic Church that was involved in that. The Catholic Church did intervene in the issue of Louis Riel, and they were ignored, and he was hanged. In looking at this, better remember this was British Canada. We had governor generals appointed in London. When much of these things went on. Therefore, I would say again, the buck stops in Ottawa, and they seem to have bucks to give people to engage in war. The military budget is getting bigger and everybody's proud of it, and the NDP voted for it, etc. Meanwhile, they never have enough money to make right the wrongs that have been done to the Indigenous population. It's a Taylor Report that is CIUT 89.5 FM. In a few moments, we're going to be speaking to Tony Leah, been on the program many times, but most recently we've been addressing this issue of the great scandal that began. We learned of where the leader allegedly, Barry Dias allegedly received money and improperly, and was trying to distribute it improperly. That's the allegation. Seems to be standing up. As we want to talk about that. Before we go to this matter, I want to also mention we're We have to be very alert because Canada is a vassal country. I say that categorically, it's a vassal country. And foreign policy is completely in the hands of Joe Biden and the US government. And that applies to all other NATO members because NATO is a military alliance, never should have been tolerated to be formed. It was actually, in my view, an insult to the existence of the United Nations, where all countries were to take their problems and to achieve peaceful relations with one another. But U.S. hegemony was so strong that they went ahead and formed the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Canada has, it always loved to say, oh, we're the assistant general, we're the deputy representative, we were in the room, we heard about the meeting, and we passed on the results. Questions that have to do with war and peace are not discussed in Canada until NATO has decided and been told by Washington. So being a vassal, you have to look out if you care about your health, and I'm speaking to Canadians broadly, but if you were speaking of Canada as a country, it should be, we should have to understand we have political parties, all of them. They are NATO parties. They are, for example, in the matter of Ukraine, there was in the South before the Civil War were called fire eaters. They can't get enough of it. They all want to pour more gas on the fire. They want to see if they want to defy and show up and defeat and all these words about dealing with Russia. And the fact is that in the larger world, there are other countries, some of them quite old, with millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions population. And speaking and acting recklessly, as though there's no consequence, as though we have complete impunity based on this thing, it really belongs in a J.K. Rowling story. We seem to think there's a magic umbrella. It's called the nuclear umbrella. Mr. Freeland likes to talk about how we're under that umbrella, because at the UN they voted on banning nuclear weapons, and she said Canada wasn't going to get involved in that because we're under the American umbrella. I have to say to her, you're probably kidding yourself. You have no idea. Those people who are operating these extremely dangerous, responsible for them, extremely dangerous weapons, actually are not thinking about Ottawa at all. They have other things on their mind. And if they choose to lie to Ottawa, it won't be a big deal. They'll just simply do it. I raise all this because the leader of our Congress, Nancy Pelosi, is reputedly about to set flight to go to Taiwan. Taiwan, according to Canada, is a part of China. Now, you wouldn't know that if you were to listen to any Canadian political leader. Taiwan is an integral part of China. And the basis of peaceful relations with the People's Republic of China is that understanding, which has been signed by the great power itself, the United States, never disputed by Canada, because Canada was an advocate of this recognition. Canada was an advocate of better relations with China. If you go back to Pierre Trudeau and even Lester Pearson, this is all, you would never know that now, because all our editorial writers and our entire parliament, left, right, and center, and far right, all say you have to be in that China is behaving aggressively. It isn't doing any such thing. US and Canada and other states, the British, send warships in the Taiwan Straits between Taiwan and mainland China at a time when we say that, of course, they are, Taiwan is actually part of China. Now, Nancy Pelosi is going there. The game is we're supposed to all pretend that, well, it's just an innocent fact-finding trip. You know, you have to go over there. You have to talk to your confreres. And, oh, no, no, no. Let's be serious. And Canada should try to become a grown-up country. Try not to be a vassal. It's very clear that the leader of the United States Congress, which passes all these, all the legislation that leads to weaponizing and sending weapons to Taiwan, and each time any new weapon is introduced, the Chinese remind those people doing it that this could have ugly consequences, they blithely go forward. Now, they went blithely forward. If you go back over to Ukraine, NATO expanded. And incidentally, many people said, don't. It isn't a good idea. But they did. And they always wanted, and the con was, well, you see, this is a choice for Ukraine. And it turned out they didn't even offer them NATO membership. But the game was, well, they can apply. They can apply. And they're doing this with China, with Taiwan. Well, you know, there's a new political party there that wants independence. And we're talking to them. Actually, I mean, that's extremely provocative. And this step, if Pelosi is going to take it, is one that will have consequences for Canada. I realize that we have long since abandoned the idea of multinational relations, that Canada is much more under the aegis, under the rule of the U.S. than it has been previous. It's been getting worse to the point where, as I say, it's casually spoken of to violate understandings with a major power. And if the Chinese object, that just shows how chauvinistic they are or how insecure. Actually, it shows that how reckless the leaders of the West are. It may also be showing how desperate the U.S. is, that it seems to have a need to try to crush people and to head them off and to prevent them from developing. In the case of China, Joe Biden actually said aloud that China would not be allowed on his watch to become number one. By the way, there's no scoreboard. This isn't any sport where you say, oh, now we're number two, now we're number one. Well, all we're talking about is a developing country being allowed, and I shouldn't say allowed, a developing country to develop, which is not doing so in any manner that should be provoking this kind of behavior. The only reason we're seeing this kind of behavior is that the UK and the US both are part of a, frankly, an Anglo-Saxon formation that has ruled for a long, long time. And they don't discuss it in those terms, but that's what it is. And they intend to keep on ruling. But the problem with that approach is that eventually you come to a point where the other person has to say to you, the other state, you'll have to cease doing that. And we have had World War I and we had World War II, and there are many people now describing the current situation as quasi, I would call it quasi-war. It's not the real thing yet, but it's got all the elements that you need to make it real. So just, I would say, time to abandon being a vassal. Try to become a sovereign country. Put it in front of the Canadian people. Make these parties go and talk to the Canadian people, putting it all on the line. Maybe a question for them all is, do you want to remain under America's nuclear umbrella? Do you consider that dangerous, or would you rather another course? This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I think we'll take a break. We'll come back and we will speak with Tony Leah of Unifor.
Proudly student and listener supported community radio. CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city.